Hope everybody's doing well today. It's good to be with you. This is Dr. Roy Morgan. You're listening to the program Health Essentials on KBJS. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I'll take some phone calls shortly. To start us off today, I want to kind of continue the thought that I had last week about pomegranates, and I realize I don't think I even covered any of the research that I had looked up. But to me, this is so fascinating for my consideration and for yours, and here's what I want you to consider. As you hear some of these studies, you can think, wow, that's like pretty impressive stuff. Well, what would this do if you took a preemptive strike and you started consuming these things before you got sick? That's really when you're going to be at your very best. You want the best chance to heal? Do it before your body is so dilapidated and so decrepit that you can't turn it around easily. Okay. Let me read number one right here. You know that congestive heart failure and coronary artery disease and clogged arteries, atherosclerosis, strokes, heart attacks, they all get all the press. And if you go to your average hospital system, they have a whole wing devoted just to cardiac rehab and cardiac pharmaceuticals and the cardiac surgery program. And so those things are important, yes, and that's one of the number one causes of death if you live here in America. But what could happen if we could actually turn that around and start making some inroads and some progress? What if our hearts became so healthy we didn't require 15 stents before we stopped walking the earth? Okay, listen to this right here. And I'm talking about pomegranates, and what they're using in this first study is just pomegranate juice. They really didn't have them eat the pomegranates with the seeds. They didn't have them take pomegranate pills or capsules. It was just the juice. In a study of 45 people that had congestive or coronary or heart artery disease, you know, that's where the coronary arteries, that's what feeds the heart, its nutrition, oxygen. 45 people, coronary heart disease, they had what's called myocardial ischemia. I don't know if you know what that looks like, but you cannot walk very far before you start to feel discomfort in your chest. That's when your heart itself, the heart muscle, it just doesn't get enough blood and oxygen. Well, what they asked them to do was drink 8 ounces of pomegranate juice daily for 3 months. Guess what happened? They did the mechanical stress test on the treadmill, and they had so much less ischemia. That's after 3 months. Now, what impresses me about this is, I don't know if you realize, it's really, really hard to reverse a disease once it's fully entrenched. Does that make sense? Would you like to have severe loss of cartilage of your right knee and have bone spurs everywhere and it's so painful you can't even put weight on it before you start taking action to help your knee? No. The sooner the better. And so when they say this improved after 3 months, I'm telling you, that's pretty impressive. If you said, okay, Dr. Morgan, what drugs can do the same thing? Well, I don't know of any. And that's why when you start talking about natural things that God has made for us, whether it be cinnamon or cayenne pepper or pomegranate juice or magnesium, what are the side effects of taking those? Well, for the most part, none. I realize as soon as I say that, there's going to be one or two people that if you even nudge toward them on their plate with a pinch of cayenne pepper, they're going to be repulsed by it. They just don't like spicy food, and that's okay. However, these spices and these herbs and substances are natural. They're usually very, very good for human beings and for healing. Okay. It said the study participants that did not drink the pomegranate juice, you're probably thinking, what happened to them? They actually showed a worsening of the ischemia on the treadmill. And so the ones that drank pomegranate juice, are you kidding me? They were able to get more oxygen and blood flow to the heart. Those without the pomegranate juice, their blood flow and oxygen saturation of the heart got worse. The study noted no negative effects to drinking the pomegranate juice, even on blood sugar levels or body weight. To me, that's important because pomegranates, there's a fair amount of sugar in there, which I think it kind of begs the question, is the sugar that's naturally found in pomegranates, is that better than high fructose corn syrup that's found in, say, a Coca-Cola? Well, you know the answer to that. The answer is yes. The lead researcher, his name is Dr. Dean Ornish. Actually, he's a pretty famous dude. He believes that pomegranate juice may even be able to help prevent heart disease in people who do not already have it. Well, that's a good comment right there. And so you don't have to wait, folks, until you get sick with heart disease before you do something. You already know what I'm doing here. Consider prayerfully, thoughtfully, write it down. Do your own research on pomegranate juice. So if you have a family history of heart disease, well, it's fine by me if you don't have to have a Roto-Rooter job. Okay? Listen to this one right here. All right. Oh, this one. Yeah, this one is interesting to me right here. Because what they were doing is they were looking at both humans and mice that had a very significant of plaque buildup in their arteries. And they tried what? They tried pomegranates. It said in their study of healthy male volunteers, pomegranate juice was shown to decrease the likelihood of LDL. That's a low-density lipoprotein. It's not cholesterol, but they always call it bad cholesterol, so I get that. So when they had pomegranate juice, guess what happened? Plaque did not form in the arteries as long as they took it. Another study from Israel showed a decrease in the development of atherosclerosis, you know, plaque buildup in the arteries in mice whose diets were supplemented with pomegranate juice. That's a good one. Now, let me switch to this one right here. You may have heard me say in the past that when they look at things that help prevent prostate cancer in men, it is so hard to overlook the studies on consuming green tea. I have not seen a run on green tea at the store, so you should be able to find some. But green tea is phenomenal in the role that it plays in helping prevent the development of prostate cancer. Well, now they're showing that pomegranate juice may actually slow prostate cancer growth. You know, if you're a man and you go to the doctor for a examination, they say, sir, your prostate's enlarged, and they do a blood test called a PSA, and it shows it's elevated. And he says, well, you know what, we're going to recommend that we do a biopsy, and in the course of the biopsy, they may find out that you have some prostate cancer growing in certain regions of your prostate. And maybe they give you a Gleason score of 3 or 4 or 5, however they rate the stage of the cancer. And some doctors now, they're looking at all the stats on what happens when we do the radioactive rice-sized implants versus cutting it out versus chemotherapy versus doing nothing. And I'm hearing more patients tell me that their doctor is saying, I'm going to give you an option, and that's just to do nothing. Because some of the studies are showing that in some men, you really don't get a benefit of any kind from doing, if anything, your life can be shorter because of the chemotherapy or the radiation. So listen to this right here. This is what I started with. Pomegranate juice may slow the growth of prostate cancer cells. Antioxidants are known to help prevent repaired DNA damage that can lead to cancer. The author says pomegranate juice won't fend off cancer by itself, but just listen to this. But studies suggest it may be a wonderful addition to the balanced plant-based diet recommended by the American Institute of Cancer Research, says Dr. Collins. Men who have already had preliminary treatment for prostate cancer may benefit from a daily dose of pomegranate juice. The juice appeared to suppress the growth of cancer cells and the increase in cancer cell death in lab testing. That's called apoptosis. So when you add pomegranate juice, all of a sudden the cancer cells decide they're going to go ahead and die. I like that. That comes from Alan Pantuck, MD. He said, I can't read that. It's covered up with an ad. Okay, so number next. Now, I talked to a lady on the phone yesterday. She was asking me, what do you do to lower blood pressure? And I said, well, there's a type of acid that's found in pomegranate. It's called punicic acid. I'm going to spell that for you. P-U-N-I-C-I-C. I'm just pronouncing it punicic acid. But it's been shown to lower blood pressure. Here we go. In a study published in the Journal of Phytotherapy Research, I don't have the year, sorry. I can look it up for you, though. Researchers suggested that daily pomegranate juice consumption for 2 weeks significantly lowered high blood pressure in 21 hypertensive patients. Well, how do you think it did that? Well, one thing is, pomegranate probably has one of the highest amounts of what are called polyphenols. And these are things that improve your blood flow and circulation. You know, I'm kind of simple the way I think about this, but you know what the aging process is? Yeah, you know what it is, of course. Your circulation slows down. You don't get as much oxygen to the brain. And what happens when all those tissues that need and require generous amounts of oxygen and nutrition, what happens when they don't get what they need? Well, they start to atrophy and die. It's as simple as that. And so anything that improves blood flow, and because of the polyphenols, if it actually has an anti-inflammatory effect to heal the arteries, that's a good thing. Now, I did come across an article, and the article was bashing pomegranates from start to finish, saying how toxic pomegranates were, how bad they were, warning, don't use pomegranates under any circumstances. So I read the article, and this is basically what it said. If you dig up the roots of a pomegranate tree and you strip the bark off the tree and you boil it and concentrate and drink it, you might get sick. Well, duh, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about just getting the pomegranate fruit that's produced by the tree. And when you peel it open, I haven't ever heard of somebody being rushed to the hospital because they drank 8 ounces of pomegranate juice. That's just ridiculous. So yeah, every plant probably has a toxic component, but you're not eating or consuming the roots of a pomegranate tree. You're just eating the fruit that comes off of it, right? I think most of you have heard this before, but almost every seed contains a little bit of cyanide. I think I've read many times that they say that if you had one full cup of apple seeds, you know, just a full cup, if you eat those, that could be enough cyanide to kill you. Well, who's going to eat a cup of apple seeds? I don't know of any. But this is good right here. The punicic acid in pomegranates has been shown to lower blood pressure in people that have high blood pressure. To me, I like that. Here's another one right here. Again, this is about the punicic acid that's found in pomegranate juice. Guess what it also does? They're showing that this is what I began with, but I'm just trying to give you a different angle on it. When you consume the punicic acid that's found in pomegranate juice, it prevents atherosclerosis. What that means is it decreases the plaque formation in your arteries. Folks, I know you know what aging is. Aging is when things lose their ability to work efficiently. Okay, a 2010 study published in the British Journal of Nutrition found that 800 milligrams a day, and I haven't ever tried this right here, but I'm glad to read about it though. 800 milligrams a day of pomegranate seed oil. I kind of think in my mind they just had one gel cap the size of maybe a cod liver oil gel cap, but it significantly reduced triglycerides, and it improved what's called HDL cholesterol, which, if you've ever heard of HDL, when they do a lipid profile and measure your cholesterol, Well, HDL, when it starts to go between 60 and maybe 80, that's when it starts doing its job by helping to remove plaque from your arteries at a faster rate than if it was below 60. Does that make sense? Another study from the year 2005 found that daily pomegranate juice consumption may improve stress-induced cardiac ischemia in coronary heart disease patients. I won't mention the gentleman's name, but there was a semi-famous individual that died not that long ago, but my interpretation was he was always just a very, very angry person. You tell me, does having tremendous anger do anything to destroy the heart? Oh my goodness, yes. Okay. This is a little bit redundant right here, but this is another study that I found. Pomegranate extract, it helps induce cell death and prostate cancer. But the reason I'm reading it to you is they're showing also, of course, you know that whatever men have in prostate cancer, that's what women would experience in what's called breast cancer. In this study, they showed that pomegranate extract, it causes the cancer cells in the breast tissue to die. I'm not offering you to that as a guarantee, but it's something that you might prayerfully consider if you're trying to do something good for yourself, just like men should be drinking green tea. Or if you had kidney problems, you might want to consider drinking hibiscus tea. Or if you had bladder problems, you might want rosehips tea, anything to help you. But they're showing also in that study that it may also help prevent lung cancer and skin cancer. If you know that your parents had skin cancer or lung cancer, maybe pomegranate's for you. Okay? I like this one right here. Another study that came from the year 2005. It was published in the Journal of Nutrition. They showed that pomegranate juice extract and its compounds were found to block enzymes that cause joint damage. I thought to myself, are you kidding me? It's not like we can do a 25-year experiment, nor do I want to, because I don't want anybody to suffer, but we don't want to have just one group that consumes pomegranate extract every day, and then one that doesn't, just so we can see who has the most arthritic knees and ankles and hip joints and fingers. No. So they're showing from 2005, pomegranate extract, it blocks the enzymes that causes your cartilage to deteriorate. I don't know where you are in your joint health, but I can tell you this. All you have to do is listen to the announcements when you're at church on Sunday morning, and they'll say Sister Jones is going to have a hip replacement, or pray for Brother Carter, he's going to have a knee replacement, or please pray for Sister Smith, she's going to have shoulder surgery, or she's having a rough go with her severe arthritis. Well, what about the use of pomegranate? Okay? And I realize this has very little to do with us, but they've actually tested this model on rats and mice. And what they do is they give them a drug or a chemical that induces arthritis. And that's where the joints begin to decline. They deteriorate. They become inflamed. But they give them pomegranate, and it reverses it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
Okay. I have a quick question for you. Matter of fact, a lot of quick questions, but...
I said yes, sir. I meant yes, ma'am. Sorry.
I have a deep voice.
I do too.
On my last lab, my microalbumin was elevated. It was 43.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor wasn't concerned at all. And I had listened to you a couple of weeks ago, and you said anything that's abnormal is abnormal, and there's a reason for it.
Of course.
So anyway, my concern is I am pre-diabetic. And he wanted me to take metformin. Well, it gave me diarrhea and kept my stomach all upset, so I wouldn't take that.
It's going to be hard to tolerate that then, isn't it?
Yeah, and then also my cholesterol was elevated. So I would rather do something natural. He tried me on the statins, and they made me have muscle cramps, leg cramps. And so right now my main problem is I've always, since preteens, I've been overweight, always. And I'm working on that. I am losing weight, but I'm worried about my kidney function.
Yeah.
And
I think you're on the right track.
So my I just needed some advice from you. Also, I have AFib, and I ended up with a pacemaker, internal pacemaker, and I'm on a blood thinner, which I don't want to take, but my only option is to do a Watchman, and my body just don't do what it ought to do.
Just because they have a plan for giving you a drug doesn't mean it's going to agree with your body, or a medical procedure or electronic device. It may not agree with your system, right?
I tried to, I wanted to take, it's called Natokinase.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, they threw a fit and said, I looked it up, and it looked like to me it did the same thing Eliquis does.
So what was their fit based on?
They said that it doesn't do the same thing Eliquis does, and it doesn't remove the plaque, and it doesn't. I said, well, when I read it.
Did they actually tell you that Eliquis removes plaque from the arteries?
No, but they said that it prevented clot.
Okay.
Prevented, maybe I said the wrong thing.
No, that's fine.
When I look that up, it says that it prevents clots and it keeps your blood thin. So anyway,
believe me, I'm not going to disagree with what you're saying. I agree with that too.
Yeah. So anyway, and then instead of taking a blood sugar actual prescription medication, I've been taking 500 milligrams of berberine. And and chromium.
Okay.
But my blood sugar did drop some. Everything dropped some. Mm-hmm. But now he's wanting me to start a new medication, and it's an injection that you do every 2 weeks.
Well, do you mind if I just be very, very direct with you and just tell you in the most loving, direct manner what to do?
Well, that's why I'm calling you. I want you to be direct and hold my feelings.
You could tell me I'm not that loving after I just wham. Anyway, all right, here's the basic issue right here.
Okay.
The main issue that you're most likely dealing with is your circulatory health, or if you want to say the cardiovascular with the arteries and the veins and the capillary beds, I'd say, yeah, that's the problem right there. So between all the different medications to thin your blood and stuff and that's one of the things, out of all the drugs they have for diabetes, I think metformin is the one that might have the greatest potential to actually improve blood flow. So I'm not trying to poo-poo metformin and say it doesn't have a benefit, but your fortunes are going to change for the better when you can improve blood flow. So let me just kind of lay it down for you. Okay. Your days of eating three meals a day, I think they need to be over. And let me tell you the reason why. If I could convince you, or just compel you to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider the following idea of intermittent fasting, you might tell me that you've unlocked the secret to reversing and making the diabetes go away and disappear and improve your blood flow at the same time. So if you ate all the food that you're ever going to eat in a 4 to 6 hour window, I know that sounds harsh, but what would happen is your body would say, oh my goodness, she's not going to give us anything to snack on for breakfast. What are we going to do? And your immune system says, well, why don't you try eating what she's got in storage? And that's what it'll do. It'll take you about probably 10 days, maybe to 2 weeks to adapt to that. So you may not feel so hot for just a few days, but the way that you'll begin to feel as your body starts consuming itself, I promise you that's what you want. And what'll happen also is insulin levels will begin to fall. You'll start giving your body a vacation from needing so much insulin to process all the sugar. Number next, It's going to take an hour and a half a day of some type of exercise to reverse this. And one of the things you could do, given the condition of maybe the feet and the ankles and the knees and the legs, is you could just get those stationary bicycle pedals like they sell on, I don't know, Amazon.com or Walmart.com or Academy. I think they usually average about $45, but you can do your arms or legs and just put them in front of you while you're sitting on the couch. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes. Matter of fact, I bought one, and I loaned it out. A lady fell and broke her hip, and that's what they wanted her to have at home, so I loaned her mine. I haven't even done it yet, but I did buy one.
You know what happens every time I loan all my things out to patients? They develop amnesia. I never see them again. Yeah, but you need a set, so if you need to buy another pair, just call her. Yeah. She might not even be using it for all you know. The other thing is, I'm just going to go down this list pretty quick right here.
Okay.
Everything that I just mentioned about pomegranate is 100% everything that you need. I didn't even get to the part about kidney damage yet, but that was one of the articles that I was fixing to go toward. Because the basic problem is, when the capillary beds, whether it's in the liver or the kidneys, when they become clogged up, they cannot remove all the gunk and the debris from your blood like they should, so your blood becomes dirty. And part of that dirtiness of the blood is cholesterol starts going up along with too much sugar and triglycerides. If we could just improve your circulation, that would be the biggest home run that you've ever seen in your life. So whether you wanted to consume pomegranate juice, or if you want to get the pomegranate powder, which I think is a super, super easy way to do this, these are all things that help repair the microvascular circulatory beds, meaning your capillary beds. The basement membranes are a little bit clogged up, and we want to try to unclog them. So a feeding window of 4 to 6 hours, that's just what works. I mean, I've had so many people that I've experimented on, I haven't seen anything else that works like that. If you could exercise an hour and a half a day, now the easy things for me to say is consider pomegranate. It would probably be a really, really good call to start consuming some cinnamon. Cinnamon has been shown over and over again to increase blood flow. The number one thing that you want to do is you want your blood to become cleaner, and you want it to flow to go better with more oxygen and nutrition. And so you always need potassium. The more potassium that you get from your food, I'm not talking about supplements, but when you get potassium from food, this is when you actually start increasing the velocity or the speed of the blood flow. The faster that blood flows through your kidneys, the cleaner and better everything is going to work. Would you be willing to eat one green salad a day?
Yes.
And you could actually go to the store and buy some Bragg's salad dressing, which is made from apple cider vinegar and olive oil. So I don't care if you get sesame ginger or, I started to say ranch. I really don't think they have that one. I'm just joking about that. Yeah. So the goal here is, what do we do to improve blood flow? Now, there's some people, they respond really well to cayenne pepper. Not everybody likes that stuff, but it's really good at improving blood flow.
Yeah, I like hot and spicy stuff.
Oh, good. Then that's what I want you to run toward. You start eating hot, spicy, just pepper everything up, jalapenos. That's what's going to help improve you. And even though I can't measure it easily, as you continue to lose weight, as that microalbumin at 45 goes back down to a reasonable level, you're going to go, oh my goodness, I think I'm healing right in front of the doctor's eyes. Now, are you worried about what he says, that he's not worried about that? That's not my concern. My allegiance is to you.
Well, from listening to you, yes, I was concerned about it, that he didn't say, hey, your microalbumin's up a little bit. He didn't mention that at all. He just said, well, your blood sugar's too high and your cholesterol's too high.
Well, what I want you to do is look on your labs. There's one called GFR that stands for glomerular filtration rate. And that's a very precise, accurate marker to determine how efficiently your kidneys are working. Also the creatinine and also the BUN. But as your GFR gets lower and lower, that means your kidneys are losing their strength and you're heading toward maybe even potentially kidney failure. Well, we want to reverse that. And sugar is absolutely the hardest thing on the kidneys of all time. So as your sugar becomes lower and lower, You might even try consuming an herb called Gymnema to see if that won't greatly help enhance how your body processes sugar and lowers it. Usually if somebody's blood sugar was right at 300, if you give them Gymnema every day, usually within 2 weeks you can get it to 160, 175, no problem.
How do you spell Gymnema?
It's spelled G-Y-M, like you're going to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
N-E-M-A, Gymnema, N-E-M-A.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On the pomegranate juice, how much a day?
Well, if you use the powder, what mm-hmm. I would recommend that you do is just make yourself a cup of green tea. And, mm-hmm. once it's ready to go, just take a spoonful, which is, I don't know, two heaping teaspoons, whatever okay. it is, and just pour it in there and stir it up. It might take you, 15 seconds to stir it where all the clumps go away. But it will universally dissolve very evenly into the green tea. And when you drink that,
okay.
man, that's like improving your blood flow in a cup of tea. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
And so there's so many good studies on this stuff. And so, the thing about it is, if it's not a pharmaceutical, some people say, well, my goodness, I'm not even going to consider it. Well, how could you not consider something as true and factual? So, I mean, you put everything I'm saying to the test. Don't even believe me for a second. But if you look up for yourself the use of pomegranate extract or pomegranate juice to improve blood flow, mm-hmm. I think you're going to be really impressed really quick. And you know what I want? I want you to be a highly curious person that asks questions.
Right. I'm looking at my GFR was 63.
That means you're 3 points away from kidney failure.
That's not good.
That's not good. And I'm not saying that to see if I can shock you or get you worked up at all. And see, if you ask the doctor, can we improve that? They're going to say no, never see it happen. But I'm going to tell you it can. So what you need is you've got to get so much more oxygen and blood through your kidneys. And the way that you're going to do that is you're going to have to move your body more. So given your circumstances and maybe an orthopedic condition or something like that, if you get those bicycle pedals,
okay.
if you can do that an hour and a half a day, then you'll start to reverse all this. You just have to give your kidneys a chance here. And what they need is they need more blood flow, more oxygen, just so they can start extracting all the good things they need from your blood. Because your blood is literally carrying an ocean of nutrients to all the cells in the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. Well, back to the blood thinner. I mean, my arms, if you could see me, everybody thinks I've been in a war or something. And
you mean the Ukrainian conflict? Maybe.
Maybe. But so do you think this natokinase, I did take that for about 2 to 3 weeks, and all these blood spots on my arms cleared up.
Oh, wow, that's impressive.
But.
Those blood spots, can we go back to that just for a second?
Uh-huh.
I mean, what are you supposed to do if you take a drug and you look at your skin and you go, what is the deal here? All my blood vessels are breaking open and blood is spilling everywhere. I mean, aren't you supposed to be alarmed by that?
Well, yes, I would assume that.
So are you saying that when you did the experiment of taking the natokinase, all those spots went away?
They did.
Well, you know why? Is because it contains living enzymes that dissolve broken down blood cells. That's great.
So, anyway, I quit and went back on the Eliquis because she said, that's not going to work and you could have a stroke.
I don't want you to have a stroke at all, I promise you.
Well, me either.
I want you to be radiant and feel great.
But still, I'd rather, what if I could take this and pay $20-something a month versus... when I go into the Gap, I'm going to be paying $142 a month for the Eliquis.
That drug costs a whole lot more than $142 bucks a month.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know what?
I was going to say, somebody told me the other day that their dose costs like almost positive. They said $575 or $585.
Yeah. Yeah. It's $500 and something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So anyway, but.
I mean, how does the average person afford something like that? If you're just the average American, That's like a brand new car payment plus. Actually, I don't even know what a new car costs.
Well, I'm on Medicare, and
well,
so
there you go.
I have that insurance, but still, you know, when you're on Medicare and you're having 142 come out for one medicine, well, that's big for somebody on Medicare.
Oh yes, ma'am. I'm real sympathetic, and you know, we got to find a way not, and that whole deal right there. That creates a whole different category of stress on you because you're just, it's just nearly impossible to comply, isn't it?
Yeah. But
so,
anyway.
I'm not telling you to medically not take the Eliquis. I can't do that. Yeah. That's against the law. That's illegal. That's a doctor's call. But can I tell you what you do have in your corner?
Yes.
If you start making major improvements and you get better, how can they argue with that?
Right. Right. Well, I guess it's just, you know, they're so adamant that if I don't take the Eliquis, I'm going to have a stroke or throw a clot and, you know, have a heart attack and whatever.
I think George Washington's physicians had a livid fit when he suggested he not do the last bloodletting, and they said, no, Mr. President, we've got to do another bloodletting. And they said that his last batch of blood that came out of his veins looked like coffee grounds. It was so thick. He was just totally dehydrated. They just killed him, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, so enough of that. So what I want you to do is just focus on what's within your power. So if you could eat one salad a day. Now, if you want one of those meals to be a nice, delicious homemade omelet, fine by me.
Yeah.
We'll saute some onions and bell peppers and tomatoes and cheese and throw it in there, and you can have at
it. You eat between 4 and 6 hours.
Yeah, if you do all the foods you're going to eat.
Between 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, 100% of everybody you tell this to is going to disagree with you and say, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
We want you to eat sugar 27,000 times a day, all day long. Keep your blood sugar up. Well, you're going to do is you're just going to drive yourself toward inflammation and you're going to kill yourself. Well, that's kind of drastic. But if you eat in a 4 to 6 hour window, what you're doing is you're telling your body, we need you to clean house big time. Well, you tell me, would you rather walk into your apartment or home and have it organized? Or would you rather just trip over everything because the pathway is blocked and you got all this stuff stacked up over here and there?
Yeah.
No, and that's what you want. You're trying to bring order to your body. So when you do intermittent fasting, you're trying to restore order by cleaning out all the debris that does not belong, that's just taking up space. Whether that be fat or toxins or cholesterol or plaque, you're trying to remove it.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna try that. What do you think about the berberine?
I think it's a good shot. And actually, berberine, it's gonna have some effect over hormonal control. So if you look at all the organs of the body that regulate hormones, the pancreas is gonna produce glucagon and insulin. So try the berberine and see if you have a good response from it. Just like when you took the natokinase.
Mm-hmm.
Would you honestly say that you saw a positive benefit from taking it?
Well, yeah, my arms didn't do like they do now. You know, if I barely touch anything, then I've got a big old blood spot on it. On my arms and hands, you know, whatever I bump.
You're going to show up at church tomorrow morning and they're going to say, did you get in a bear attack in the forest?
Well, they do. They say, what happened to you? What's going on? You know.
You said, I was just minding my own business and all of a sudden this bear came out and hit me with a stick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. So I'll get going on the pomegranate and green tea and cinnamon and cayenne and then change my... Now, we've been basically, for a while, just eating one meal a day.
Oh, that's good. Well, then stick with that. Because I mean, the only way through this is your body begins to come back online again where it begins to heal and rejuvenate. And so I'm convinced you're doing the right thing.
Okay.
Are you taking any insulin at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
All right.
The berberine's the only thing I'm taking that I couldn't take the other. Well, they want me to try that injection, but I haven't done that yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry to disappoint them if you lose 35 more pounds and don't even eat it at all. That'd be horrible.
So,
I'm joking.
yeah, I know you are. I appreciate all that information. Now, I have one quick question for my husband. I'll get off of here. He has a lot of problems with just dizziness. just feels real dizzy.
Is he taking any drugs?
No, he takes Alka-Seltzer if it's...
Okay, but that's it. He's not taking any drugs to improve his sleep or memory. Okay.
No, he takes a lot of supplements, vitamins. He takes a B-complex, and he was taking...
Either he has significantly reduced blood flow to his brain or his inner ear, or another possibility might be that he's got a little bit too much calcium oxalate built up in the semicircular canals of his ears, making him dizzy. Or he's dehydrated. Which one is it?
Well, I think he doesn't drink enough fluid. But he gets up at night time. He has to go to the bathroom a lot. And I told him, I said, well, Dr. Morgan said the reason you're doing that is you don't drink enough fluids during the daytime.
Well, you know what? That's one. No, you're making a good point there, because what he can do is he can start hitting the ground running by drinking water throughout the day and then just laying off around 6 o'clock.
Okay. So basically, he doesn't drink much except.
Yeah, but you're gonna be dizzy if you cannot deliver enough oxygen to your brain. It's just the way it works.
Okay.
So whether that's due to poor blood flow, or the reason I said calcium oxalate crystals, they build up and form these little bitty rocks in the semicircular canals, and it folds those little hair-like cilia projections over, which is like the gyroscope of your body. And you'll literally start to get dizzy and wobbly, and so I can tell you this also: if we did a literature search right now on just vitamin B12, if a person starts to become low in vitamin B12, one of the side effects would be dizziness.
Okay.
Of being deficient in B12. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Which means you're going to cook him liver and onions for lunch today, right?
He does eat liver. I don't, but he does.
You need to follow your husband's lead, woman. It's Father's Day.
Oh my goodness. Well, if he wants some, I will cook him some.
What a good wife you are.
All right, okay.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Have a
thank
good day.
Bye bye.
All right, let me read this to you right here. In a 2013 study published in the journal Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine, that's a name for you, pomegranate juice was found to improve visual and verbal memory after 4 weeks. And I'm telling you, folks, that's hard to do. We'll come back to it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Hang on just a second.
Yeah, thanks for turning your radio down.
Hey, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Hey, I have a quick question. I have breathing issues, and I'm thinking about going to the salt mines in Kansas.
I think you should.
And you can, like, do tours there.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought is to do tours, like, all day long.
You need to be at the end of the line, and when everybody leaves, you just need to camp out overnight, and they'll find you the next day.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, if I could sneak and do that. But how many days do you think would be good to do?
What they used to do back in the mid to late 1800s, when somebody had horrible breathing problems or lung problems, they would just take them down to the salt mines, and with their kerosene lantern, I guess, or whatever fuel they use, they would just read and sit and spend all day in the salt mines. And what you're doing is you're just breathing in some of that very fine atomized salt dust. That's almost what happens also when somebody goes down to the beach and they sit on the beach all day long. They're bringing some of the dissolved salt from the ocean, and they breathe in their lungs. Or, let me give you another option here. Do you know what a salt inhaler is?
Yes.
They cost, what, $12?
Yes.
Have you tried one of those?
Yes.
Did you get a good result?
But it's kind of hard to walk around with a salt inhaler on your mouth as you're...
Ma'am, how does that affect me if you have to use duct tape and tape it to your face? I don't see what the problem is.
Well, you know... It just kind of gets caught in your hair, you know, when you're trying to rip that duct tape off.
It's a little bit painful, is it? The other thing that I've seen, you could say I was on Eloquist and duct tape. They do sell a mechanical electrical device that you load salt in, and what it does is it grinds the salt for you and puffs it in the air. They cost about $1,000. I forget what they're called, but if you want to go to the salt mines in Kansas, that sounds like a home run.
Okay, and so I'm going to be going with a friend of mine who has breathing issues, but I was wondering, for like 3 days or...
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, I think you're going to see a result really, really quickly.
Okay, because I thought, if we're going to drive up there, I wonder how long we should be up there, you know?
Well, if you're going to go anyway, you might as well just count on having as much fun as possible enjoying all of God's creation, right?
Yes, but I was thinking, if I'm going to go up there, I've looked it up, I could just get a season's pass. And so
well, actually...
Over and over and over again.
Do you know how far under the earth you're going to be?
Pretty far.
Well, give me a number. Do you know?
Like 650 feet or more.
Oh, okay. So 650 feet, huh?
So... What do you think?
I think it sounds like a good plan. I'm not trying to make a joke here, but just the sheer adventure of doing something different is fun, isn't it?
Oh, that's true. I mean, considering that I'm claustrophobic.
Well, at least you're willing to take a risk on this deal and go 650 feet beneath the earth. Let me tell you this right here. I think I may have talked about this on the radio. They had two groups of maids that worked at these luxury hotels in New York City, and they followed them for 3 months. But one of the groups of maids, this is what they told them. They took about 5 to 10 minutes to say it. They said, "Listen, you're working at this great, Ritz-Carlton hotel here, and we just want you to know that the type of work that you're doing, it is so good to transform the dimensions of your body. You'll look more athletic. You're going to lose weight because of it. It's going to help you feel better about yourself. You're going to have energy when you get home from work." And guess what happened? The other group of maids, they didn't hear any of that stuff at all. But at the end of 3 months, the ones that believed that little, sales pitch, all of them lost weight and all of them became more athletic because they believed it. And that just goes to show you the power of the mind when you're all in on something. So I'm not saying that's what takes place in the salt mine, but just the fun factor alone, thinking it's going to help you, that's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, I've never been in any kind of mine, but, So anyway, I think it would be kind of interesting. I have been in, I've been in Kansas before where you had to, drive into a place to offload something. They had all these companies underground.
Oh,
kind of weird.
Well, I'm not sure about this. I could be wrong, but I think when you get under there, they're going to have one room that's devoted just to beef jerky and another room for potato chips and probably another room for salted popcorn. I mean, surely that's how they do it, right?
Actually, you get to ride on a tram.
Oh, really?
Just go around... Yeah, it's a tour. It takes about 2.5 hours.
Do they make you wear the COVID mask?
No, I've already checked.
Oh, you've already checked. Okay.
There's no way am I going to be sitting with a mask on my face. Salt mine.
Are you going to take your little flashlight with you? That way, when you turn it on, you're going to go, "What is all that fine dust floating in the air in front of my beam of light?"
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you. I know this is going to be very discouraging to you, but I've always got to be honest.
Okay.
There was a news report on Fox News just now that the salt monster, they had just spotted him in the Kansas salt mines.
There you go. That's all right. Him and Bigfoot.
Now, ma'am, you may be mocking me. I'm trying to do you a favor and tell you that they just sighted the salt monster. And what they did was they put a game camera up in one of the salt mines. Just look it up. See what you've come up with.
Oh, I will. I'll Google that.
Yeah.
Okay, I was curious about that. So, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Are you going to be licking the walls?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what cows do when you put a salt block out in the pasture, right?
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, I'm not going to make a salt.
Okay. Hey, I can't wait to hear how your adventure goes.
All right. Thank you.
You might decide to move to Kansas. It might be so good.
Oh, no. I'm not going to move to Kansas.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As a matter of fact, I think they discovered a family of salt monsters. I know that's kind of a scary proposition. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a question that's actually regarding my dog. He's 9 years old and he's got this spot that come up on his nose. And it started out as just like a little red spot. And
you mean like red in the color of blood?
Yeah, not that red. It was just kind of pink, kind of a light pink on top of his black nose, you know. And so I took him to the vet, and he said it was just, he didn't know what it was. He just said it was subcutaneous, and, you know, my concern was it a nasal cancer or something coming on?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because he is 9 and a half. And then it started getting a little bigger. I've tried to look at, like, in his nares to see if it's extending down. It doesn't seem to be, but then, you know, I can't see that far. I took him back a second time, and he said same thing. So I guess I just wanted to know, do you think something like putting castor oil on it would help?
You got nothing to lose by trying it. What I thought of is they make a, you know what a salve is versus an oil? An oil is more of a liquid form and it flows pretty freely, but usually a salve, they'll kind of make it in a base of beeswax. Just kind of help. You're just trying to use, the purpose of a salve is where you can hold it in place.
Right.
And so they do make a salve that's made of eggplant.
Mm-hmm.
I think it costs like $15 maybe.
Okay.
I think the name of it is eggplant salve.
Oh, okay.
So if you were to type in eggplant salve, you could probably find one, but you might just try just putting that on there over and over and over again. And sometimes that works if there's a if there's an issue with an angioma or a hemangioma, something like that, or a vascular issue.
Uh-huh.
So you might even just try that, but castor oil, you could do no harm whatsoever.
Yeah, until I get the salve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, you could go to the store today and buy castor oil if you didn't have any. It's pretty easy to come by.
I have some. I've been trying to get rid of gophers with it, but it's not working too good yet. But anyway.
Well, to get rid of gophers, here's what you do. You take Ex-Lax chocolate chips and make cookies for them, and then never mind.
I know, but
I saw a guy the other day that was like, I can't remember what he was doing. He was pumping gasoline down a gopher hole, then lighting it up to kill him.
Oh my gosh!
It's pretty drastic.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I have dogs, so I'm not going to do that.
Well, will your dogs get along with a really aggressive tomcat?
No.
Ah, rats! Because that would probably do the job for you.
Yeah, no, Clyde does not like cats at all, so.
His name is Clyde? What's the other
His
one's name?
Is Clyde.
What's the girl's
Bonnie.
Name, Bonnie?
Bonnie, yeah. So.
That tells me a lot about their temperament.
They're both pretty laid back.
So
but,
between the castor oil, I would probably look at the grapefruit. I'm sorry, did I say grapefruit? I meant to say eggplant.
Eggplant.
And the other one, they make a salve that's based on pine tar. And sometimes that stuff does really, really well, too. Now, I'm not telling you I know what the deal is on your dog's nose, but the pine tar is not going to hurt. And the eggplant, it ain't going to hurt. And the castor oil, there'll be nothing. I mean, he may smell the pine salve more than the others, mm-hmm. but there's nothing in there that's going to, it's not like pure turpentine.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm willing to try anything, you know. I mean, I just keep taking them. They're saying, oh, well, it's just subcutaneous. And And I hope it is, you know, but me too. I want to do whatever I can for him.
No, there's some type of vascular change or change in the tissues or the cells of his nose, and we need to pay attention to that. I remember when I was a boy, if we had like a bad sting, on would go the turpentine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Clyde kills and eats wasps. He, one time I came home from work, he was covered with stings. And I think, you know, he got into a nest or something. And since that time, he literally, if he sees one, he will hunt it down and kill it and eat it.
That sounds like it's a grudge match.
I know.
I bet you anything he got a hold of some yellow jackets in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things are ferocious when they come out of the ground.
Yes. But that's what he does now, much to my dismay. But anyway...
Well, he. What are you going to do? Tell Bonnie and Clyde they can't be themselves?
I know.
Yeah, but those are the things that you could look at doing and see if that makes a difference.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, and have a good day.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, let me share this with you right here. I think there's only like about a minute left or so. All right. Evidence suggests that pomegranates can improve memory and prevent and treat Alzheimer's disease. Now, I'm telling you, that's a very bold statement. Of course, I didn't write that, but here it goes right here. In a 2013 study published in the Journal of Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine, pomegranate juice was found to improve visual and verbal memory after 4 weeks. In the study, 32 people each drank an 8-ounce glass of pomegranate juice or a flavor-matched placebo drink. Another study from 2006 found that pomegranate juice reduced the accumulation and the deposition of amyloid in the brain by 50% in mice. And I'm telling you right now, that is incredible. If you don't remember anything else that I'm saying today, if they can give it to mice and reduce amyloid deposits in the brain by 50%, that is incredible. That should literally be on the front of every billboard going into town. You can't find a drug that does that. No way. I've been at this for almost 33 years now, give or take. Every year I hear promise of a new pharmaceutical that's going to cure Alzheimer's and dementia. Well, you know as well as I do, that has not happened, even though there have been some pretty outlandish claims. But if you can reduce amyloid plaque in a mouse's brain by 50% just by giving them pomegranate juice, that is incredible. Now, what have you got to lose? You could easily get, and I've seen it, just any of the delivery systems would probably work. If you want to get a fresh pomegranate and work on that, if you want to eat them, if you want to juice them, whatever. You can buy the pre-made pomegranate juice. You can get pomegranate in a capsule. You can get it in a tablet form. You can get it in a powdered form. That's the way that I like it, just because it's super easy on me. All I do is put my spoon in, shovel some powder into a cup of green tea or hibiscus tea or something else that I like to drink, stir it up, and you're good to go. I've really enjoyed being with you today. My name is Dr. Morgan, and Lord willing, I'll be back this time next week for Health Essentials.